Hallelujah. I know that song sort of took some of you back, but I love that song. Hallelujah. All right, you can open up to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to read them to you from the Amplified Classic Edition. I will confess and praise you, O God, with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all else your name and your word. And you have magnified your name above all. You have magnified your word above all your name. Now, when you listen to that, I got to point out where it says, before the gods. He's talking about the gods with a little. What he was saying was, he was not afraid. David was not afraid to go out to any nation and talk about his God. He wasn't ashamed of the God he served, because he was the only true and living God. But when you look at that, where he says, he exalted above all else his name and his word. And then he says, he magnified his word above all his name. It almost seems a little confusing, right? Well, see if this will clarify that just a bit for you. God and his word are one. And how do we know that? Because his word tells us that. In John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. God and his word are one. It shouldn't bring any confusion now to you. He's one and the same with his word. Hallelujah. His word. See, if we want to live a life of blessing, we must make our words agree with what God says. His word is his will. When we say what he says consistently, because you got to remember, inconsistency lies power for us. Amen to that? So consistently speaking his anointed and power-filled words out loud in faith over any situation we face, the purpose for which he sent that word will manifest in our life. Because Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue. Your tongue. We must make the quality decision to speak God's word in faith, whether we like it or not, and no matter what the situation looks like. Speak only what God says about the situation, and not just a few hours worth or days, but all the time. If we'll do that, the situation will turn around. God's word is not void of power, and when spoken in faith, will accomplish what it is sent out to do. We are to speak his word. Do you understand? How important is his word? Well, Isaiah 55:11. I get another one, right? Amplified Classic Edition. Look at that. Put your head down, there's a shine on it. You know that, bro. Isaiah 55:11. Amplified Classic. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. He gave us the word to speak. He showed us how powerful and how it works. He's telling you, you speak it, it'll have the same effect. Just because he spoke it at one time, the power didn't go away. God's word is powerful. Amen. Let there be light, and there was light. Amen? We must make our words agree with his power-filled words. Now, because even in, he said this in Isaiah 46:11. He said, indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. He says, I will bring it to pass. I will also do it because he's spoken it. See, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Well, yes, he will. Because he can't lie. He can't lie. If he said he's going to do something and you call it out and you speak it into existence, he's going to make it happen. If you've ever made a quality decision to speak only God's words in faith in the midst of a challenging circumstances, now, you and I both know it's not easy. Okay? And as time wears on and the circumstances around us appear to stubbornly stay in the same miserable condition, it's often difficult to keep speaking God's word. And I hear you. But we must continue to speak God's words of victory if we ever want to see our harvest of blessings come in. If you are in the midst of financial challenges, for example, those challenges don't negate the word of God. You hear me? They do not. Because what's it say in Philippians 4:19? It says this, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need. See, make it personal. I know the scripture says, my God shall supply all your need. But say that. Say, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's continue. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. I am the head, and not the tail. I am above only, and I am never beneath. I'm blessed. Real loud, I'm blessed. That's right, you're blessed. And I call you blessed. Hallelujah. But most of all, God calls you blessed. You honor God, God will bless you. You do what God says, he'll bless you. And he tells you, agree with my word. Make your words agree with mine. Speak what I tell you to speak. No matter how challenging it becomes, God's word is still true and remains unchanged, even if you haven't been able to tap into the fullness of it yet. You may feel foolish at times, but just keep speaking God's word. And talking about his generous prosperity and his provision for you. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Now, this is the New Living Translation. It says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Keep that scripture in mind when you're bringing your tithe and you're bringing your offering. God will generously provide all you need. God's word will work, will go to work for us the very moment we begin to believe it, speak it, and order our life accordingly. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, this is where the angel comes and he's talking to Daniel, and he said, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. He hears our words. He's heard our words. And he sent the answer. We just got to be patient. We got to be patient. We don't know what's holding that up. So we got to ask God, what's holding that up? What is holding it up? Might it be unforgiveness? That's just one of them. I mean, it's several examples. But one thing it is, it's important, though, that we humble ourselves before him when we go into prayer. What do you say? If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it comes right back to us. He says, and I will hear from heaven. But we must go to him humbly. Prosperity will begin to spring up as we plant God's promises into our heart and put them out to work against those mountains. Our mountains, whatever they may be, can be moved from before us when we speak to them, not about them. When people get together, I've noticed that they talk about the mountains in their lives to whoever will listen. You know, by doing that, the mountain gets bigger. It doesn't go anywhere. It just gets bigger. You keep thinking you can't take that mountain down. Zip it. Talk about how good God is. Yeah? What's God done for you? How has he blessed you? You know what? I was pulled out on the road the other day, and a car was coming down, but something stopped me. Hey! There's those little things. You can talk about that, and they'll say, wow, praise God for that. We got to give him praise, Lord God. He's out there. His angels are encamped around about us to protect us, make sure we're safe and sound. I loose your angels. I loose them. Charles has to do it all the time because they hang on to the front of that van for dear life. Floriana doesn't allow the radio to be played, nothing. She sits there with her purse and watches the road. Am I right, Flo? Look at her. Yeah, that's my husband. Okay. We get back to those mountains. But in Mark chapter 11, Verses 22-23. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. No doubt in your heart. Speak those things, believe, and you will have whatever you say. The illustration of casting an enormous mountain into the sea is an extreme example. But they put it here for that reason. And Jesus said it. See, that's the point that Jesus is making. He says that having faith in God can accomplish the impossible. Having faith in God can accomplish the impossible. Just as the song said, and I've had a pretty good change this morning, I think. It lines right up there, right here. Because it says, with God, nothing is impossible. That's what the angel said in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Who was he speaking to? Speaking to a young virgin girl by the name of Mary. With God, nothing is impossible. Okay, why did I laugh? Because I know the Holy Spirit's moving. The Lord asked this question. He asked this question. Back in Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 14. What question did he ask? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Yeah, this is when he was talking to Abraham and telling him that his wife was going to have a baby, and she's over there going, ha, 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 laughing, you know, back in the back. And so Abraham talks to the Lord with his two angels are there, but now the Lord's there. And they're talking. And he tells them, yeah, you're gonna be a father. And he says, Lord, you know how old I am? He says, that's when he asked this question. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? And he says, by the way, why was your wife laughing? Because she laughed. And she says, he expects me to have pleasure in this at my age? And she said, oh, I wasn't laughing. He said, oh, but I heard you. I'm telling you, God hears you. God hears you. Even when you're sitting there at your down moment, you're starting to mumble words, he hears you. He hears you. Oh. He's a forgiving God. He knows that we're human. He knows it. And he can identify with us because that's why he came to this earth. That's why he became Jesus. The Word became Jesus. So he can identify. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're going through. But when he asked that question, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? The prophet Jeremiah answered that question. He answered it in Jeremiah 32:17. Jeremiah 32:17. Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. He answered it. The Bible answers itself. When a question is asked by God, there is always an answer, and it's found right in the Bible. That's so that we can build confidence in the Word. Yeah. So we need to be built up in the Word. We need to constantly be in the Word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. See, it takes believing on our part. That having faith in God, we can say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will be done. Now, in Mark, before he went into chapter 11 there, but in Mark 9, you can see here where the writer wants to make sure that he shows us Jesus' insistence on simply believing. And we look at that in Mark chapter 9. And if you look to verse 16, because that's where we're going to start there. Now, this is right after the transfiguration, okay? And when Jesus was up there on the mountain, high on the mountain, and he took the three with him. And who'd they see all up there? Elijah and who else? Moses. I thought Moses died. Isn't that what they said? It sort of reads that way. Moses didn't die. Proves it right there. He was there. And they saw him. So they didn't see, they saw a human being. They saw Moses. They saw Moses. They saw flesh and blood. Are you sure, Pastor? You know how old he'd be? I don't care how old you think he'd be. But see, God brought him up. There's Elijah, too. How old is Elijah, do you think? Ooh, I'm telling you. You're just going to love the word. Okay, Mark 9, verse 16, and it says, and he asked the scribes, because he come down there talking, he said, what are you discussing with my boys here? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, because you weren't here, Lord, that they should cast it out. But they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear, put up with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Now, have you ever seen anyone convulse? Muscles twitch, pull up, and body's totally out of control itself. It's a sight sometimes. It could freak you out. But Jesus wasn't moved at all. Mm-mm. He just stood there and he asked the Father, he says, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The very nature of Jesus was compassion for others. To have compassion means to empathize with someone who is suffering and to feel compelled to reduce the suffering. Compassion is love that is moved to action. And we see that time and time and time again when it says he was moved with compassion. God's word in Ephesians chapter 4:32 tells us something very important for us. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's humbling, is it not? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Well, you don't know what he did. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. You got to forgive them. And you got to pray for them. Sometimes you'll look and say, what did I do to bring it on? It goes both ways. What brought that on? Verse 23, back in Mark 9. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and saying with tears running down his face, Lord, I believe. I believe, he says. I believe. Help my unbelief. That's where he knew he had trouble. Help my unbelief. Even those who believe can be nagged by doubt and hopelessness. No matter how much faith we have, we never reach the point of being self-sufficient. Faith is not stored like money in the bank. Growing in faith is a constant process of daily renewing our trust in Jesus. That's what it takes. Daily renewing your faith in Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Right? I say that every day, practically. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. Because then I know that he'll start to direct my path and make it straight and plain. Right. Hallelujah. Be not wise in your own eyes, I say, Jack. Listen. Listen carefully to what the Lord is saying. But what did Jesus do, though? He commanded that spirit out of that boy. And that spirit put on a little bit of a fuss, but it left. It left. Because it said, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him. I like this. And enter him no more. Enter him no more. When that spirit left, he knew better than to even try to come back to that child. He knew at that time that God's eyes would be on that child to make sure that spirit would not come back upon him. See, God, I think sometimes that's where we miss that. Enter him no more. Not coming back. Now, for many, the biggest problem, though, is continuing to stand on the Word of God. When discouraging circumstances seem to persistently continue without a break, it's easy to be tempted to quit and to think God's Word might work for others, but not for me. Been there? Yeah. I've been there. I've gotten a lot better. Have I perfected it yet? No. No. Yeah, I'm a work in progress. I think you all are a work in progress. Hallelujah. And thank you that he hasn't given up and continue works on us and works on me. But I tell you right now, cast down that imagination and keep speaking what God's word says about you. So don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. Fight the good fight of faith. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul told Timothy? 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. No matter what you are going through, stay on the word, stay positive, and remember the power that is in your tongue. Watch your tongue and speak only the word, and you will stay out of trouble. We must stop ourselves from speaking words of hopelessness, lack, and defeat. We'll tear up that crop of faith that we have planted with our negative words. And we will never enjoy the fruit of our faith when we do that. So, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. That's if we do not give up. Don't give up and don't give in to those thoughts. Thoughts are nothing but thoughts. Put them under the obedience of Christ. See what he has to say. Standing in faith on the word of God is doing good. And we will reap the reward of receiving what we are believing for. God is faithful to his word. He is a covenant-keeping God, and he cannot lie. In fact, his word tells us it is impossible for God to lie. See, and remember, he is watching over his word to fulfill it. Yeah, I didn't say that. The prophet Jeremiah said that in Jeremiah 1:12. Our Father God is merciful and loving and desires for us to be blessed in every area of our lives. But to fulfill his desires, he needs us to position ourselves to receive from him. How do we do that then? By doing what he wanted the Israelites to do, by listening, believing, and doing what he says in his word, because he gave them the law. Now, I know, like I say, the Israelites were under the law. But as new covenant believers, we don't live by the law. We live by faith. And what is faith? It is simply believing God's word, speaking God's word, and acting like it's true. That's a big one there. I'm caught. I'm healed. I can't go sing. You walk up here and the anointing hits, and oh, man. Ah, do I need to go there? No, I don't. But I'm just telling you, you believe God. He's a healing God. Yes, sir. Pastor, you don't know what it's like? Yeah, I do. I know what it's like to fight COVID. Yeah, I do. I never got the jab and I never will get the jab. That's me personally. I don't tell anybody else what to do. I just know I'm not going to be on one of them studies that said, if you took this vaccine back in such and such a time, you have a right for this and that. I don't want to be a part of that. No. I'm covered in the blood. And so are each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, I know what I speak over you. I know what I pray over you as a congregation. And I don't just sit there and say, I'll pray for my congregation. I name you all. Yeah, it sits down. It may take me a while, but guess what? That's time well worth it for me. And I know that I'm doing what God told me to do, to pray for each and every one of you. I pray nothing but the best for y'all. I pray for your health, for your happiness, your contentment through Jesus Christ, through your financial stability, so that you're not having any lack in your life. And I pray those kind of things. I want you to have a long life and a life worth living. And he gave us a goal. He said, I'll give you 120. I'll give you 120. But what do we got to do to make sure that we can make 120? It all depends on what you're putting into your body, what you do in your body, too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith is what brings all God's blessings into manifestation. It's what transfers them from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Amplified Classic Edition, says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the very title deed. If you got the deed to your house, you own it. Of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Putting faith in God's word, speaking God's word in faith, causes things to happen in our lives. It brings to pass all the promises God made to us in the Bible. When we mix our promises, or his promises, I'm sorry, when we mix his promises with faith, our faith, they begin to take substance or natural materiality. They become material for us. Then they become healing. They become finances or whatever else we need. God has always worked with his people by promises. Long before God gave the Israelites the law, he established his covenant with Abraham by making him a promise. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. This is what he said. Now, the reason I picked the King James was for you, Elder. When I got it, I said, yeah, there it is. My elder's going to like this one. I think you all will too, because you've heard us say it so many times. Now remember, this is God speaking. Ready, Dean? Number one, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that cursed thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I will. Has he not said it? Okay? I thought you'd like that. Because God says, I will bless you. And we're all blessed because of Abraham. Because of a covenant that God made with Abraham. How long ago? That covenant, we still reap the benefits of that. It didn't go away just because we're entered into a new covenant through Jesus Christ. It just made it better. It made it even better. But how did Abraham respond to the promise? He believed it. He began to talk and act like it was true. He made his words agree with God's word. And sure enough, what God said came to pass. That's the way God's word works for every one of us. It's why he tells us all through the Bible to attend to my word, is what he says. Attend to my word. Because Jesus said, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4, that was. The more of God's word we know and act on, the better our life is going to be in every area. The more freedom, the more joy, and the abundance we're going to have. But Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. So that means an abundance. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If we just halfway listen to him, though, and halfway do what he says, we're going to come up way short. If we just think about his word once a week on Sunday morning, well, we're still eventually going to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a long, miserable trip. Think about that. See, we're in a trip or a journey to where? To eternity. And I want that dash to be happy. Right, Doc? We want that dash to be happy. We want it to be fulfilled with God's promises. And, you know, people are going to say, wow, he lived that life. He lived the example. He lived Christ. Hallelujah. You know, that's the most important thing that I could say about my dash. I want, when somebody looks at my dash and says, you know, when he finally got the awakening in his heart, he lived Christ. And that's what I want to be known for. To live well now and experience a victory on this earth, we must be diligent about the things of God. We must give him and his word their rightful place in our life. And what is their rightful place? First place. Here you go. First place. Did we not just talk about that recently? First place. When God is first place in our lives, his word is our top priority and it's our final authority. We spend time reading it, and whatever it says, that's the way it's going to be in our lives. When we read the word, read it as God speaking to you personally. It will make a big difference. Then ask yourself, what is God saying to me in this word? What is he promising to do for me? What is he telling me to believe and to do? Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Yes, he will. When you get rid of the distractions and are able to listen, because the distractions will distort and not let you hear properly what he's saying to you. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Get quiet before the Lord. See, some think it's just about, though, the believing part that God cares about and not the doing part. He's interested in our faith, not our works. But in reality, he is interested in both, because the two cannot be separated. Because in James chapter 2, verse 17, says this, faith without works is dead. So believing and doing always go together. Now in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God said to keep the word in your mouth, in our mouths. Meditate on it day and night so that you do it. What? So that you, yeah, do it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Believing, speaking, and doing what God says is the key to our healing. It's the key to our financial stability and increase. It's the key to walking in the fullness of God's plan for us and receiving all of those wonderful things that he promised and provided. See, he promised and provided them. They've already been provided for you. You just haven't got in the word enough to go find out what he's provided for you. Because I know the more that I read the word, the more that I find out how much he's provided and how much I've let and not reaped from it. Because I didn't know it was there for me. It's there for each and every one of us. So I can only give you little bits and pieces every Sunday when we come here. That's why it's important that you take time and be in the word. For God's word to bear fruit in our lives, we must persevere in it. We must continue to feed on it and live like it's true, even in the face of contrary circumstances. Always keep in mind when you decide to step out in faith, whether in the financial realm or some other area, determine from the beginning that you'll not allow the waiting period before you see the manifestation of your faith stand discourage you. No matter how long it takes, hang on to the truth of God's unchanging word until you see the results. Put the power of patience to work to undergird your faith. Yes, until you see them. Keep your words in line. Make your words agree with his words. And you will receive your harvest. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you.